From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Good to be with you tonight. Open lines this hour. Next hour, is the earth hollow and growing? Stay tuned with our special guest, Neil Adams, who also happens to be a comic book legend. Incredible stuff. He has revised the new Batman, for example. Just got done watching a video earlier of the movie Open Water. I'm a certified scuba diver. I'm not sure I'm going to do that anymore. My, oh, my, oh, my. Here's some of the news of the day. Very powerful new twist on the most common kind of internet attack could overwhelm even the most popular and well-fortified websites and disrupt email traffic by enlisting the network infrastructure servers that manage internet traffic worldwide. Now, this according to security experts. This was first detected as early as 2002. The assault, which is known as Distributed Reflected Denial of Service Attack, bombards targeted web servers with such massive amounts of data that even flagship technology companies could not be able to cope with it. In one case examined, an unknown assailant used an internet domain name server in South Africa to unknowingly bombard targeted computers with overwhelming floods of amplified data. Now, domain name servers are specialized computers that help direct internet traffic. Computers see web addresses as a string of numbers called an IP address. A domain name server translates a user's request for, let's say, example, www.yahoo.com into an IP address. Experts traced at least 1,500 attacks and briefly shut down commercial websites, large internet providers, and leading internet infrastructure companies during a period of weeks beginning late last year. The targets are so attacking that most internet users did not even notice the widespread effects until it was too late. Now, the U.S. Computer Emergency Readiness Team, part of the Homeland Security, has warned network engineers as far back as December to properly configure their domain name servers to prevent hackers from using them in attacks. So what does this all mean? Well, according to one expert, this would be the Katrina of internet storms that could hit us. So if you start having problems soon with your internet, it could be this. In England, the doctor battling to save the lives of six men who took part in a drug trial says he's never dealt with a case like this before, describing the set of symptoms as very unique. The men suffered inflammation, which had subsequently affected other parts of their body, including their internal organs. They really don't know how to treat this. Apparently, what happened is they were advertising this test drug, and they just take out ads in the newspapers, radio, and on television for people to come in. They get paid for it. They take experimental drugs, and then they sign a waiver in case something goes wrong. Well, something went horribly wrong. As a matter of fact, these men now, according to witnesses and girlfriends, one person looks like the Elephant Man. Remember him, John Merrick, that movie? Looked just like that. Another person's face has swollen up three times his normal size, and they just have no idea how to stop this. This was a drug that was being tested for reducing inflammation in people. In Iraq, coalition forces have launched the largest air assault in Iraq since U.S. forces invaded that country in 2003. The assault was launched in a southern province to clear a suspected insurgent operating area southeast of Samarra. The operation, which began early Thursday, is expected to continue for several days now ahead of the Shiite Muslim holiday. U.S. military commanders say the operation was largely carried out by Iraqi forces based on tips from other Iraqis. Coalition forces have dubbed the assault Operation Swarmer, which is an operation consisting of about 1,500 soldiers in all, including the Iraqi Army's 1st Brigade, 4th Division, the 101st Airborne Division's 3rd Brigade Combat Team, and the 101st Combat Aviation Brigade. While our past guest, Robert Felix, who has written a book called Not by Fire, But by Ice, who talks about an impending ice age, well, he's right, I think. Listen to this, because he's always said that warming ocean currents are the main culprit for all our problems. A rise in the world's sea surface temperatures was primarily contributing to the formation of stronger hurricanes since 1970, according to a new study. Now, Felix has been saying this on Coast to Coast for a number of years. Now, while the question of what role, if any, humans have had in this is still a matter of intense debate, but most scientists agree that stronger storms are likely to be the norm in future hurricane seasons, just what we need to know. The study is detailed in the March 17th issue of the journal Science. Scientists have announced new evidence supporting the theory that the infant universe expanded from subatomic to astronomical size in a fraction of a second after its birth. The findings, based on new results from NASA's probe called WMAP, launched in 2001 to measure the temperature of radiant heat left over from the Big Bang, which is the theoretical beginning of the universe. This radiation is known as the cosmic microwave background, and it is the oldest light in the universe. The new observations announced at a NASA news conference reveal what the universe was like in the first trillionth of a second after the Big Bang. From the microwave background, researchers teased out a new signal called polarization signals, and they just say that the universe expanded tremendously from the moment of that Big Bang. Next hour, we'll be talking to Neil Adams, as I mentioned, about his thoughts of the universe. And I've had an opportunity to look at some of the video and animation he has provided. It is up on the coasttocoastam.com website. You might want to take a look at it. It is truly some of the most remarkable video animation that I've ever seen. If you go up to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at one of the hot stories there. A restaurant has beaten its record for the world's biggest burger with a whopping 15-pounder. Denny's Beer Barrel Pub in Clearfield, Pennsylvania, already has the title with a 6-pound burger, but the owners decided they're going to make a bigger one, and they did. 15-pound hamburger. Diners who can finish the burger in under 5 hours win cash, a T-shirt, and have their name posted on the pub's Wall of Fame. Assuming they survive this, they also get the burger for free. This thing is absolutely huge. You've got to see that picture. Well, you've got open lines for you. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, ready to go at 818-501-4109. Yeah, I've got to tell you, I didn't have time to finish Open Water, that DVD, the movie that was out some time ago, is now on video form. Ugh. Can you imagine swimming in the ocean? The boat that takes you out there to scuba dive leaves. You're all alone with your spouse or your girlfriend, and you float to the top. There's no boat. You're in the middle of the ocean, and then all of a sudden, sharks start coming around you. I'm not going to give this away, but what a movie. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good evening, George. It's Greg in Wichita, Kansas.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling.
Listening on KFH, it's so big, takes AM station in and FM.
What's going on?
It was open lines. I wanted to tell you about what happened at my brother Carl's funeral. I'm the youngest of five brothers.
Okay.
And my brother Bruce was killed in a helicopter crash in Missouri in 95, I believe it was. And in 91, I was at my brother Carl's funeral, and I was the funeral home the night before the wedding for the family viewing, and I was at the back of the chapel recomposing myself. I'd just been to the casket.
Oh, I understand, sure.
And I got my sinuses cleared, my eyes cleared, and I looked up at the front of the chapel, and my brother Terry and my brother Lynn, that were still alive, were standing up at one end of the casket talking to each other. And at the foot of the casket, my brother Carl and my brother Bruce were standing there having a conversation. And Bruce was wearing his floppy old fishing hat like he always did. Carl was wearing hunting clothes like he usually had on. That's the way I remembered them best. And they just lasted, oh, I'd say 12 to 15 seconds. And then they just kind of faded away, like almost like a fog disappearing.
Did they notice you at all looking at them?
No. Lynn and Terry were facing each other, and Carl and Bruce were facing each other. The only difference between the two brothers, between the brothers that were talking, was two of them were alive and two of them were already on to the next life.
And now, when you saw that, though, did it make you feel a little better about the fact that they had gone to the other side?
Oh, yeah, it made a big difference. They both looked happy and healthy, and they, you know, were smiling and laughing and talking like brothers do. Yeah, at least in my family.
Well, that's the way to do it. Thanks for sharing that with us. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is David from Stockton. How are you?
I'm fine, David. What's up?
Well, when I was 16, I had my son, which was kind of young to begin with.
That is young. My
yeah,
God.
When he was an infant, I was sitting on the edge of my mom's bed, and I had him in my arm. And something went through my stomach like a rush of wind and knocked me right off the bed.
What do you think it was?
I have no clue to this day.
16, you know, and how's your child now? All right, everything's okay?
Yeah, he's 26 now, but, you know.
You two guys are probably like brothers when you go out.
Yeah, well, I made my dad a grandfather at 34, so.
I bet he appreciated that, huh?
Yeah.
All right, yep, that is a pretty young age. Next up, first-time caller line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Steve from California.
Nice. Whereabouts?
I'm in Riverside.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
George, first of all, thanks for taking my call, and I really love the show. Two quick comments. I wanted to thank you for not interviewing the channeler from a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Dimitri. Yeah. And, part of me regrets even allowing him to do his form of the statement. And
you know what?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's funny you mentioned that because I listen to the show nightly, I sat there waiting to hear the statement, and I don't know what happened, and this is going to sound weird, but I lost time. I never heard the statement. I don't know if I'm a security guard. I'm not supposed to be asleep. I don't think I was asleep. I'm always alert and very excited to hear the show.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, the segment was over. So don't know what happened there.
Well, let me tell you, the one thing he did say, which was a little startling, was that you can expect some kind of major event on or before Good Friday, which is in the middle of April, I believe. And got to keep an eye on that. Lost time.
Well, hey, George. Thanks.
Okay. God, you're gone. Wild card line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, George?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. My name's Richard. I'm in Long Island here. And somebody just made reference to that guy that was on your show about a month ago, not by fire, but by ice.
Yes, Robert Felix.
Yeah, and I heard his program, and I've heard a couple of other programs both you and Art have run about, you know, global warming and the whole thing. But I never heard this report that I saw in a PBS program or any reference to it, where they stated that the world goes through periodic ice ages, which last hundreds of thousands of years, that they come in cycles, and that during these 100,000-year cycles, there is a period of like 10,000 years when there's a warming period during the ice age, which they claim we're in now. Have you ever heard of this?
That is exactly what Robert Felix says. He says that you do get a warming period during an ice age, in that sometimes you'll have your nice warm summers, very hot summers,
mm-hmm.
but that the snow and the ice comes more and more and more, to the point where eventually when you're in an ice age, and I think he said this one would last about 5,000 years, you could be talking about 2,000 feet of ice. Which obviously will cover most of the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, no, that's refreshing to know that somebody else has stated that, because I always thought that, you know, that was pretty, that sounded right, that we were in an ice age, but that, you know, 10,000-year period could happen. All of recorded history practically happens in that period, and for all we know, it's going to get cold again, you know?
There are not a lot of climatologists who would agree with what Robert Felix has to say.
Well, I do, if nobody else does.
Well, okay.
One other quick thing, George. I listened to that program, the woman who was talking about angels and stuff the other night.
Yes.
Great, great show. I love that story about the doctor and the feather, you know?
Catherine Lanigan.
That was incredible. But she kept on saying that she had two near-death experiences, and I was surprised that you didn't take issue with her about the second one, because in the second one, she didn't have a near-death experience. She had a vision. That was the elaborate one, where she saw the Crystal City, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it really wasn't what I would call a near-death experience, because if it was a near-death experience, it would have been logged as such, since she was in surgery the whole time. They would have said, you know, her respiration went down or whatever, but she had this vision while she was in surgery, which may or may not have been true. I'm not saying anything that, you know, what she said was a bunch of...
Well, now, let's see. The first one, she was having a baby.
Childbirth.
And the second one, I think she said she was having a partial hysterectomy.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, that's possible she could have died on the old table.
Oh, and on the childbirth one, they had record of it. She did say that. But in the second one, she said no. She never, you know, never lost blood pressure, never lost any of the things that would categorize it as, whoop, we've lost her for a few seconds.
Yeah, all right, you may be right there.
You know, so I wish she had said that, because she kept on saying it was a near-death experience. And I really don't, I classify that as like a vision, but that doesn't take anything away from that story she told about the doctor and the invisible angel with the feather.
The hairs
on the back of my hand just stood right up when I heard that.
I wish that doctor had gotten some DNA on that feather.
Oh, you should get him on the show. He sounded great.
That was a great... Okay, thanks
for the
call. All right,
George, have a good evening. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Next up, I think you called. Wildcard line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Phone George.
Good.
First of all, I'm really worried about what's going to happen in this month.
Why?
It's getting down to crunch time, because the American dollar is about to fall. I'm an astrologer, I'm a numerologist, and I just know whenever there's going to be a lunar a solar eclipse in Aries, that means war is coming. But here's the problem. Since 1945, the American dollar has been controlled by one thing and one thing only. You can only buy oil in American money. That means all the countries in the world have to keep American money, have to have a surplus, and we just print dollars, because it doesn't matter. Everyone will take it.
Yeah, that's right, but now it's changing. They're going to euros.
Well, the problem is Iran, on the 20th, is going to start selling everything in euros. And the U.S. government's not going to let that happen. Now, their first course of action is probably going to the U.N. Security Council, but Russia and China, you know, those are...
They're
going to
block that.
Nations. Yeah, you know, and it's going to get very bad. I want people to understand they have to get food, water, and it's time to have the survival game. Because
you really think it's going to get that bad?
Well, the problem is I've read all through, like, 5 years when I've been studying the Illuminati and blah, 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 that they're going to cause an economic collapse. Now I know how they're going to do it. I finally figured it out. You know, it took a while, but I got there. This is the same reason Bush went into Iraq. Everyone says he's a bad guy. Well, yeah, he's a murderer. But what ticker, you know, a dictator isn't. He went in there to protect the American money, which any president would have done. So basically, America has to decide one, two things. Either we're going to go to war or we're going to live in poverty.
Well, and as you know, we're rattling the old saber again about Iran, and it's very possible that is going to happen. And maybe because of the euro conversion, that's a possibility. I just wonder what these other nations are going to do. I don't know if they're going to tolerate it. I mean, Iran has got, it's a twofold problem, let me tell you, and it's a massive problem. They are working on their nuclear capabilities. There's no question about that. The president of Iran has been very outspoken about this country and about Israel, and that he'd love to annihilate it, and that he'd love to do something to us. So that's a real possibility, too. Those things aren't made up. So something's going to happen. I agree with you there. And the fact that there's a possible conversion from American dollars to euros could be that underlying reason why it all makes sense to have to do what you have to do. We're going to continue with open lines this entire hour. Then the next hour, we're going to talk about just an incredible theory that our guest Neil Adams has about the universe and about the planets. And again, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at the four segments of animation that Lex has posted that Neil has supplied to us. If you've got a computer, it is absolutely remarkable. I will play an audio clip next hour of Neil. Those of you who don't have the luxury of seeing this, we'll try to paint some pictures with words. But when I come right back, we'll continue with Open Lines. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment. Hey, the April edition of the After Dark newsletter highlights a very special article about none other than alternative media man Alex Jones. You might want to pick up that copy. You also get, when you subscribe, 14 issues for the price of 12. How do you do that? Well, simple. Here's a phone number. It's toll-free, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. You can also go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. There's a link there. It'll get you right to ordering After Dark. Hey, good news, by the way, for those of you who are StreamLink members, starting with Ian Punnett's Saturday, March 25th, Coast to Coast Live Show. That's the early one that starts at 6 p.m. Pacific. Saturday, March 25th, StreamLink members will be able to receive a podcast of his program, just like you do the regular Coast to Coast show, or even manually download the show. More details will be posted by Lex on the Coast to Coast homepage on Friday. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go right back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there. Good evening. Good morning.
Hi, George. This is Cliff from Las Vegas. How you doing?
Hey, Cliff. Good.
I'm originally from Boston. I was an EMT for many, many years for the city of Boston. But I just wanted to say one thing, that I survived flesh eating disease.
You and, did?
Yep. And MRSA virus on top of it. I spent 6 to 8 months in a hospital. I was in a hyperbaric chamber for 3 hours a day for almost a month and a half to fight the disease, but I survived it. And I don't know how I did, but my doctor told me I'm like 1 of 3 or 5% that did survive it.
I wonder if they're going to try to find out what kind of an immune system you have to battle it off.
Well, the thing is, George, I'm not exactly the most healthiest person in the world. I'm overweight. I have diabetes. I have high blood pressure, I have asthma, but I still survived it. Whereas they told me a couple weeks earlier that they had a guy who was 25 who came in with it, and he died 4 days after he had it.
How did you get this wretched illness?
Well, I don't know whether it was a bug bite or just I caught it from a pimple that burst, and it just got infected.
Oh,
they had to remove 6 inches of my chest wall because all the tissue was completely gone. It was eaten away. So to stop the advance of the disease, they had to remove the chest wall and let it just grow back. I've got a scar that looks like I had a triple bypass operation on my chest. And I'm not young. I'm 46
years old. Well, I got to tell you, though, you're lucky to be alive. Who cares what that looks like?
Well, that's it. And the thing is, I'm not really afraid of the bird flu because I look at it this way. If this couldn't kill me, bring it on. Let it happen. And the other thing I say, too, is about the inoculations that they want you to have all the time, the flu vaccine. I'm allergic to the chicken embryos that they make it from. So what are they going to do, put me in prison because I'm allergic to the virus?
Well, yeah, hey, don't give them an idea, because if that ever becomes something mandatory, they may do that. But back to this illness one more time. Are there a lot of people in this country coming down with this flesh-eating disease?
I've got to be honest with you. Until I came down with it, I only heard it on Art's show and your show.
Right.
And that's why immediately when the doctor told me, I thought it was a death sentence. I started writing out my will. I started calling relatives I hadn't talked to in years. I thought it was that much of a death sentence. So I was preparing myself. But I don't know how it happened, but it took me over a year to get well. 6 months in the hospital and 6 months at home recuperating with visiting nurses.
And what do the doctors say? Do they have any idea how people get this?
No idea whatsoever. It's just something. They say it's more prevalent on the West Coast, especially the MRSA virus. It could be something in the dust in the desert or the sand or whatever it is. But whatever it is, it just got inside me and
Well, from the moment you got it, from this either bug bite or this pimple from that size,
four
which
days.
Is very, very minute. It took 4 days
four
to make
days
its way across your body?
I had an abscess on my chest the size that looked like a woman's breast.
Unbelievable.
It was that huge. It scared me because, like I say, for about 20 years I was an EMT, and I'd never seen something grow that large and constantly.
Now, when you say grow, what is it doing? I mean, is it eating your flesh away?
Well, first of all, it became an abscess, and it was just stuff was flowing out of the abscess. I had put a bandage on it, and it just kept flowing and flowing and flowing. And finally, I just went to a doctor, figuring she'll just lance it and give me antibiotics. Well, they rushed me in an ambulance to a hospital.
Doctor probably didn't even want you in their office.
Their office, exactly.
Get this guy out of here.
Exactly. And they really cleaned up the ambulance well after I got out of there, and I was in like an isolation room, like I say, for 6 months. People had to wear gowns and gloves when they came in to visit me and things.
Did they ever let you look at one of these critters under a microscope just to see what they looked like?
No, for the simple reason they didn't want me out of the isolation room.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you're okay. You know, you are right. We've talked about this story before, and a lot of people really don't believe it when you talk about the possibility of a little insect bite or it starts like a pimple. But, man, when this thing flies, it flies fast. But 4 days, that's incredible. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast, and it is your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
This is John. I had a call out of Texas down here.
John, what's going on out there?
I was going to talk to you about the guest you've had on there before about the peak oil.
Well, I've had a couple of them, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be running out anytime soon.
I don't either.
That's what I do for a living is I haul crude oil, and I'm pretty sure it ain't going to be running out. We're busy right now in this field that we're hauling out of, been here since the early 30s, and long as they keep it regulated and don't overproduce it, everything will be all right. Because if they overproduce, that's where they're going to mess up the system at.
Now, what side of the camp are you on? Do you believe that oil is made from dinosaurs and dead plants, or is part of the planet and the planet makes it itself?
I'm pretty sure the Earth makes it. I'm pretty sure. I don't see how just don't comprehend how the dinosaurs and everything and the leaves and to make all this, as much as it is. I mean, we haul millions and millions of barrels out of this field right here a year. I just don't see how dead dinosaurs and dead leaves can make all that. I'm pretty sure the Earth makes it.
What are the boys saying about the price of oil in about a year or so? Do they speculate on that?
They're probably going to stay about the same, I think, about hovering around $60, $61 a barrel. I don't understand why the gas prices shot up here in the last few days, because the price of oil really didn't shoot up.
Well, we know why. They need profits.
You got that right. Everybody's
okay.
Got to make a buck.
Thanks. You drive carefully.
Hey, George.
Yep. Those are tough jobs driving those kind of rigs. First-time caller line. Your turn. Hi there.
Hey, George. How are you?
Good.
This is Louie. I'm calling from Lawrence, Mass.
Hi, Louie.
And I have a story to tell you. It's
okay.
Real quick. It's funny. You know, considering all the bad things we're constantly hearing, a million different ways that the Earth is going to take a permanent dirt nap. We got to get a chuckle once in a while.
Yeah, really?
My uncle, he was on my mother's side, American Lebanese, and he fought during the Second World War with Patton in the tanks. Well, anyhow, my mother's maiden name is Kata. And, you know, the years passed by after 9/11. His name is Alfred. Now, it wasn't funny at the time, but he's in Logan Airport. And somebody recognized him and yelled out, "Hey, Al Qaeda."
Oh, no.
Swear to God. Now, he's a war hero.
Oh, no. Next, yelling that at an airport.
Yeah, but this is his name, Alfred Tatum. And they surround him. They surround my uncle. The guy's like in his 80s, right? He's going, "What the heck? What are you doing?" And, "Well, it's Al Qaeda. Al Qaeda." The whole place is in an uproar.
Oh.
They finally, you know, they finally figured this whole thing out. And he looks, you know, he's Arabic, right? He's
Lebanese. Right. Yeah, but he's 80-plus years old.
Right.
And, I guess.
But it was, you know, maybe a year or so after, and everyone was still on edge. And the guy that yelled it was also in the Second World War with him. He was an old army buddy, right?
Yeah.
He got the two of them. He had the two of them in a room. And my poor uncle was going, "What's your name?" He said, "It's Al-Qaeda." And they're over there, "What are you talking about?" He shows them the license, the whole thing. I mean, it was hushed up for a little while, but it kind of got out because they made fools of themselves with this.
I have never heard one like this before.
Judge, my right-handed God. I've been listening to the show from the beginning and trying to get through from the beginning. I dialed, bingo, I got in. I couldn't believe it.
Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda.
I love that story. That one I'm keeping. Thanks.
Take it easy, George.
That's going in the best of. That is unbelievable. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, Republican conservative voters are the victims of the greatest political hoax in American history. And folks, Congressman Tancredo must be the next president. I mean, don't fall for the phony conservative presidential candidates the Republican Party will be auctioning off in the future here. I mean, look, we're going to be in Iraq. It's not hard to figure out until the last drop of oil is sucked out of that place. It's a disgrace. I'm up in the Northeast here. I hear people in the Northeast talk about Southern white Americans. They call them all kinds of names. I put them in their place. You don't want to tell my friends, those patriotic Americans in the South, get your kids out of the military. Sit this one out. You don't have to fight this one. You fought all our wars. You back down to no one in any of our wars. You don't have to be over there killing your kids getting killed over there. You should hear the names they talk about Southern white Americans up here in the Northeast. And there's a lot of patriots up in the Northeast, too. But it's time for the Southern white Americans to sit it out. You got my permission. It's a disgrace, and it's disgusting.
At what point did you, as a conservative Republican, start changing?
I really didn't change. In December of 92, when Pat Buchanan said he was going to run for president, I thought it was a college prank, but I supported him, but it wasn't. The man was committed for 10 years to try to become president, and I wanted to really – I supported him all the way. I mean, I took a financial hit trying to get this guy elected president, but I didn't care about the finances, and I knew this man had to be elected. And let me tell you, if he would have been elected a president, this country would have been a lot different today. We would still be living in America. That's the key thing for everyone to remember. We would still be living inside America if we – I would say, George, every enemy in America in the world has their enemies inside America right now. I mean, I would love to take the UN and throw everyone out of the UN, get them out of this country right off the bat. All the illegal invaders inside this country, I would throw them out of here. That's what has to be done.
I have said for years the United Nations should be in a neutral country like Switzerland, somewhere out there, and just get everybody out of here.
Well, you know what? If the UN loves the Iran so much, or Saudi Arabia, let's put the UN in Iran. That's where we should put it. That's where it belongs. Or if they're worrying about they're calling, you know, America all kinds of names, well, maybe we should put it in the Congo somewhere. No, but they'd never do that because they love it in this country. They're eating America alive, and you're sitting there doing nothing. You're being fooled by this March Madness, this basketball, this World T-Ball Classic that's going on. Folks, this is diversion. You could be diverted. You could do other things. But if your country doesn't come first, there'll be no country left. And I'm telling you, they're going to try to push the phony conservative Republican candidates on you again. Please, don't fall for it again. This is a disgrace, what has taken place inside this country. It's heartbreaking to see a lot of people, good people, sit on the sidelines and do nothing. Can't sit this one out. This is your country.
Well, folks, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you at the end of this show in a couple minutes. I'm going to play for you something that my late friend Byron McGregor did. And Byron, of course, passed away of a heart attack. But I'll tell you about it in about, well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you about it right now. It's about time, especially following in your footsteps, sir. Byron McGregor produced a version of a writing done by a fellow by the name of Gordon Sinclair. Gordon was a Canadian television broadcaster and a darn good one. In the early 70s, Byron decided, you know what, I'm going to put this to my own voice. And it's called The Americans. It became a hit record, rising to Canada's top five. He sold 3.5 million copies. That meant three gold records for Byron McGregor. And he donated the proceeds to the American Red Cross. You talk about something that will put your hair and let it raise from your arms. Just listen to this. Those of you who are Americans and those of you who are Canadian, you should be proud of what Byron McGregor and Gordon Sinclair did. I just want you to listen to this for a moment because I have carried this with me for years. As a matter of fact, we got a call just a few days ago from someone who has heard it on the program, but we haven't played it in a very long time. I think following your phone call, it's only appropriate that I play it for you right now. So sit back for just this moment before we get to the top of the hour. The rendition of Americans by my late friend, Byron McGregor. And that was done 33 years ago. And how appropriate is it right now? It was written by Gordon Sinclair. That was recorded by the late Canadian broadcaster Byron McGregor. When I come back, we will be talking with comic book legend Neil Adams about his theories of a new model of the universe. This is an incredible story. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.